them relevant by staying in your field. Locate your field. The height that you can get to in God, the height you can get to with what God has given you, how you can accomplish what God has said, is not determined by the prophetic word that came to you or the seed. It's determined by the heart. People who have not been hidden, they don't bear fruit. They become shooting stars. They just shoot up and then they disappear. They don't last. I want you to begin to pray. Ask God, prepare yourself for the word. Be on the wavelength of the Spirit so that we can receive the word of God on the wavelength of the Spirit. Koshi brahataya lo si brahatokoske. Mandoro bokolia talabahata. Lebra kalayan deribekiri bokoshi kahala. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. Father, we thank you for this time in your presence. We pray that even as your word is coming with great power and might, you will help us to open our hearts. Let your word drop on our hearts and let your word bear fruit. That will bring glory to your name. Change us, transform us with your word. Heal us, deliver us, cleanse us with your word. Wash us, light our path with your word. Break our hearts with your word. Burn the chaff with your word. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We thank God for today. And today I'm preaching on what I call tend the field. Tend the field. Somebody say tend the field. Say it again, tend the field. Now, we've been talking about fruitfulness for the past 2-3 weeks. We've been talking about fruitfulness and we saw that fruitfulness is God's ultimate desire for his children. And the one thing that will make God happy with our lives is when we are bearing fruit. And one thing that will make God also sad with our lives is when our Christian life is unfruitful. And last week we saw that the non-negotiable key to fruitfulness is dwelling in a secret place. That as believers, if we can bear fruit, we must dwell in the secret place. And we saw many things about the secret place. Now, today we are looking at tending your field. Tending your field. And as one of the keys to fruitfulness is for you to locate the field that God has given you and to work the field. Now, we're going to be reading some scriptures, but before then, let us know that it is very important to maintain the right kind of soil or field or heart. God will give us seed, and there is nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is incorruptible. The seed is perfect. The seed is the word of God. Nothing wrong with the seed. The only variable or the only thing that keeps varying is the soil that receives the seed. And the soil stands for the heart or the environment of the person. That is why when God made Adam, God gave Adam a lot of potentials and a lot of good things that he placed within man. But God saw that despite all these good things, if he doesn't place man in an enabling environment, the deposit he has made in man will go waste. So God took the man he had formed and planted the man in a garden called Eden. Now, Eden is the presence of God. It symbolizes the presence of God. So by that, God was establishing the principle that no matter how gifted you are, no matter how much potential you carry, no matter what gifting that God has given you, no matter your talents, no matter your abilities, if you are not in the right kind of environment, you will not be fruitful. That is why God didn't place Adam in the wilderness. He didn't place Adam in Ethiopia. He placed Adam in Eden, which is the presence of God. So it means that the place where we are planted is very important for fruitfulness. It also means that the environment that we live in is very important for fruitfulness. If you want to bear fruit, the problem will not be with a seed. The seed came from God. Your gifts, your abilities, the grace, it comes from God. But if you want to bear fruit, then you must locate the right environment and then grow there. So God placed Adam in Eden. He placed Adam in Eden. Now, when God placed Adam in Eden, in Genesis 2:15, Bible says, and the Lord God took the man that he had formed. The man that God had formed. He had formed him. He had put many things in him. But then he placed him in Eden. And then he told Adam to tend the garden and keep it. He said, dress the garden and keep it. Tend it and keep it. In other words, if you tend it, you will keep it. If you work on it, you will keep it. If you don't tend it, you will lose it. If you don't dress it, you will lose it. God will never give you a finished product. Whatever God will give you, it will demand constant working. Even salvation, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So, if you are expecting God to give you something that is already developed, you will wait for a long time, because God may give you something, but God may give you a diamond in a rock. And you must break the rock and polish the diamond. There's nothing, even Eden that was perfect, Adam still needed to do work on it. Eden was perfect. Eden was perfect. It was a perfect environment. But Adam still had to work. How much more something that we are involved in today? Marriage is a perfect institution. It has to be worked on. Your ministry was given to you by God, but it has to be worked on. Because God will not give you a finished product. He will give you something that demands work. So we're going to look at scriptures and then find out. Now, the responsibility of keeping the soil, keeping the right environment, keeping the right soil, keeping the right heart, is not God's responsibility. It is your responsibility. It is my responsibility. In Proverbs 4:23, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Other version says, for from it, out of it springs the goings on of life. He said, keep your heart with all diligence. Diligence means with all carefulness. With all carefulness. Because out of it flows all the issues of life. Which means that everything that you have or you go through in this life, every status you attain in this life, every place you get to in this life is dependent on the heart, not the seed. Let me repeat. The height that you can get to in God, the height you can get to with what God has given you, how you can accomplish what God has said, is not determined by the prophetic word that came to you or the seed. It's determined by the heart. So God can give you a prophetic word. of a glorious destiny, but then that word will fail in your life. Now, let me distinguish between the word failing and the word failing in your life. I didn't say God's word will fail. I said God's word can fail in your life. In other words, it can fail to manifest in your life, even though God has spoken it. There's a way we can make the word of God of none effect. Jesus Christ said, you have rendered God's word ineffective by your traditions. Now, God's word is not ineffective, but it can be rendered ineffective, inoperative in our lives. In the same way, it can also be rendered effective in our life, because the word of God is quick and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, having ability to divide, to put asunder spirit and soul, joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Only God's word, for instance, can distinguish between a thought and an intent. Only God. And that's how powerful the word of God is. It can distinguish between thoughts and intent. When your thought becomes your intent, only you know. And only you and God know. But the word of God can do that. So the word is powerful. There is nothing wrong with the word. The word is perfect. The only difference is the soil, the environment that you maintain for the word. So God can give you a prophetic word, and that word can fail in your life. That is why sometimes we say that, oh, I had this prophecy and it didn't come to pass. No, it wasn't the prophecy that didn't come to pass. It was you who prevented the word from becoming active in your life because of certain things that you failed to attend to. You did not tend the field. Hallelujah. Now, the key to fruitfulness is maintaining the right field. Because you see, your field, the field that God gives you, and your field can be your calling, it can be your giftings, it can be your ministry, it can be your area of operation, it can be your vocation. I mean, everything that God gives you is your field. You will not succeed on any field. There's a field that you succeed in. There's a field that you'll be fruitful on. There's a portion for you. You see, in the Old Testament, when they got to the promised land, even though God had promised them the whole land, they didn't just go and then dwell wherever they wanted. No, it was a portion for them. The tribe of Reuben, this is your portion. The tribe of Judah, this is your inheritance. Levi didn't have inheritance. The tribe of God, this is your inheritance. It was a portion. Every tribe and its inheritance. The same thing in the body of Christ. Even though God has given us generally many, many gifts, many, many operations, many callings, there's a particular place for you that you must discover and dwell before you can become fruitful. Now, that place, that is where your destiny is connected. That calling, that is where your destiny is linked to. That gifting, that is what connects your destiny. That is where your destiny is. That is where your fruitfulness will come from. You will not be fruitful on another man's field. You will be fruitful in your own field. That is where your wealth will come from. Your wealth will come from the field that God has given you. That is where you are blessed. You see, when God is blessing you, God will bless your field. He will put a blessing in your field. He said, a certain man saw a treasure buried in the field, that he sold all he had and bought the field, because the treasure is in the field. Gold was in Eden. When God gave Adam Eden, he gave Adam everything. Everything Adam needed to fulfill God's assignment was in Eden. He gave, his destiny was linked to Eden. That is why when he drove him out of Eden, he became a wreck. Because his destiny was in Eden. His fruitfulness was in Eden. His wealth was in Eden. His influence was in Eden. Bible says a river came out of Eden and watered the garden. And from the garden, it parted into four heads. and went round the whole world. Right from the same location, the river went round the whole world. Adam will be influential if he locates Eden and stays in Eden. Not by trying to stay in somebody's field. Locate your field. Locate your field. And when you locate your field, tend your field. And make sure that you stay in your field. Locate your calling. Stay in your calling. Locate in your environment. Locate your environment. Stay in your environment. That is how fruitfulness comes. He said, you'll be like a tree planted. Planted by rivers of water. Planted. Some people are not planted. He said, you'll be like a tree planted. When you are planted by rivers of water, he said, who will not lose its fruit? He will bear fruit in its season. And when there is drought, he will not be careful. He said, his leaves will not even wither. Your leaves stands for your activity, your zeal, your actions, the things that you do. The fruit stands for what God produces out of you for people. So when you are planted in the right environment, that is when you prosper. Prosperity simply means accomplishment of desired purpose. Accomplishment of desired end. Attainment of desired end. When you are planted in the right environment, you get the desired end. Your prosperity is linked to that place. Your significance is linked to your field. You become relevant by staying in your field. By staying what God has called you to do. The place God has called you to be, stay there. The gift that God has given you, stay with it. Be faithful with it. Don't put your eyes on somebody's field. Put your eyes on your field and develop it. Not everybody will succeed by becoming a doctor. I mean, if I'm bringing it to the natural level, not everybody will succeed by selling pure water. There are people who have located that their field is this and they have given it their all and they are making it. In the same way, when it comes to a Christian life, not everybody will make it by becoming, you will make it by becoming what God has made you to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So discover your field. Pray and tell God, show me my own field. Because it is through your field that you will go around the world. If you want your influence to go around the world, your influence is in your field. It's in the Garden of Eden. That is where the river will part and go around the world. Your wealth is in the field. The treasure is in the field. Your productivity is in the field. Now let's read some scriptures. Why people receive the seed and they have very glorious promises, but they never manifest it and they die. We'll see. Come to Matthew chapter 13. We are going to be reading some scriptures, quite a lot, and then so stay with me. Matthew 13, 1 to 9. We all know the parable of the sower. So let me read the interpretation rather. 18 to 23. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. But when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Come to Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 13. Mark 4, verse 13 to 20. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Now, I want you to note something here, the verse 19. It was not added in Luke's, in Matthew's account. It says, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. Desire for other things was not added in Matthew's account, so take note of that. Then also, let's come to the last one, Luke 8, verse 11 to 15. It says, now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Here too, it wasn't explained in the other account, so take note of that. The seed is God's word. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life. Underline pleasures of life, because that one too was not in the first two accounts. Pleasures of life. And bring no fruit to maturity. And underline that one too. They bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones who fell on good ground are those having heard the word with a noble and good heart. Keep it, and I like keep it, and bear fruit with patience, and I like patience. Now, these are four different kinds of fails that Jesus is showing us. And I'm going to use these fails to explain how we must work on our hearts and work on our field and tend the garden so that we can produce fruit. Because the essence of the prophetic word is for it to manifest and produce fruit. So people receive the word, and the word is the seed is the word of God, and the word is perfect. People receive the word onto four different kinds of soils, four different kinds of environments, four different kinds of attitudes, four different kinds of hearts. The first one is the wayside heart. The heart that is the wayside heart. Now, the heart that is a wayside heart cannot produce fruit. It cannot bear fruit. No matter how glorious the seed is, that heart can never bear fruit. What is a wayside heart? The wayside heart is a heart, the wayside, you know, the wayside is a place where everybody walks on. But when it is not restricted, there are no boundaries. Number two, it is undeveloped. It has not been worked on. So, a person with a wayside heart is a person who is unrestricted. A person who has no boundaries. A person with no covering. A person who is not under authority. You will never bear fruit. Because the enemy will come and steal the word out of your heart. You see, when the word is released and there's no understanding, there's no root, the enemy can come and steal the word. The only time the word is received is when the word is understood. That is why it is not enough to hear the word. Faith doesn't come by hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Which means faith doesn't come by just hearing the word. It comes by understanding the word. Once the word is not understood, the devil can come and steal it away from you. So the person receives a prophetic word, but because the person's heart is a wayside heart, everybody works on it. Everybody works on it. Everybody works on it. There are some people who will not develop the field. They will just be all weather. You will never bear fruit being all weather. Jack of all trades, you will not bear fruit. Because there is something in particular that must be your field. There is something that God has put into you or put you in. That is where you must stay and bear fruit. There are some people, you see them. Every one of God is their father. Oh, this is my father. Tomorrow, oh, this is my father. Every hand is laid on you. You will not bear fruit. All kinds of hands are laid on your head. Because you have many, many fathers. A wayside heart, no restricted, no boundary. Everybody can walk on the wayside heart, including the birds of the air. That is why you see people with great destiny. Sometimes they die before their time. Because they are just floating up and down. No authority, no covering, no restriction, no boundary. Nobody to answer to, no accountability. And listen, that will not stop God from releasing the seed. God will release the seed. But the duty is ours to work on our hearts to make sure that the seed is received on good ground. For God, He goes about sowing. He will release the seed. As we go along, you will see that even God will not stop the seed from even promoting you. He will not do that. Hello? So, you cannot be fruitful if you are Mr. All-Weather. Mr. Everything Goes. There might be a place you belong to, number one. There must be authority you are under, number two. You cannot just say that everybody is my father. And listen, there's a people, this man is my father. Then today, tomorrow, this man is my father. There's a saying that a rolling stone gathers no moss. If you're a rolling stone, you don't gather any moss. Rolling stone, a stone that is rolling. You cannot gather moss. It's a stone that is planted, that is stable, that gathers moss. So the reason why there is no fruit in some people's life, their prophetic words don't materialize, is because they are wayward. A wayside heart is a wayward heart. It's a rebellious heart. A heart that cannot submit to authority is a rebellious heart, and that heart can never bear the fruit of the prophetic word. It's very important. Number two, the reason why we don't bear fruit is because we have a rocky heart. A rocky heart, there is rock beneath. Rock beneath, and so we can't develop our fruit. We can't sink down our roots. That is why many people have glorious promises, prophetic words, prophetic destiny, and still they cannot fulfill their prophetic destiny. Because they didn't deal with the rock that was beneath. The rock. Because before you can bear fruit, your root must go down. But people don't, because there's a rock, the root cannot go down. There are some people, because of a certain rock in their lives, you see something even fighting against the word. And I don't know. An example of the rock in our life is family patterns. Negative family patterns that must be dealt with, that must be broken. Otherwise, the prophetic word will drop on our heart, but it will not bear fruit. And you will think that it is God who is keeping you from bearing fruit. No, God will release the word, but the word cannot penetrate. The root cannot go down. So there will be no fruit. There are people with great destinies, but their lives were cut short because of some family parting that they didn't deal with. And in case you don't know, family partings can affect you. There are some people, there is a culture or a pattern of laziness in the family. Very, very gifted, but laziness, and it's like, it's as if the thing just comes on the person like that. He inherited it. He must deal with it. Otherwise, it is going to obstruct him and limit him. In 1 Peter 1:17, Peter talked about the fact that there are things that we inherit from our fathers and our family line. He says, 1 Peter 1, verse 18, he said, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, received from from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. He said, we are not redeemed from our aimless conduct. Aimless conduct means a life without purpose. That was inherited. It's a family pattern. It's something in the bloodline. And because the person didn't deal with it, the prophetic word came, but the word didn't bear fruit. There are some people, even as they are born again now, idols in their family are keeping them below. So God will give the word, but the word will be swallowed because the root cannot go down. Because if the root doesn't go down, the fruit will not be seen. Negative patterns in the bloodline. That is why you must begin to research and to know what are the negative traits in your life that are likely to pull you down, and begin to aggressively address them. Otherwise, God will give the seed all right, but the time will come where you will not bear fruit, because they will choke the seed. They will prevent the seed from even germinating. The root cannot go down. When you see it, then you deal with it. Make sure you deal with it, and you make sure that you uproot it, because it is going to affect you. It is a rock beneath that will affect you. There are certain characters too that become rock beneath that are likely to affect us from manifesting the glory of God. And when you see them, you must aggressively deal with them. Aggressively deal with them. If it is deliverance you need, you must open yourself for deliverance, because you are serious. Because you know that this thing, it can affect my glorious destiny. Otherwise, you will die fast and go to heaven. Because it cannot stop you from going to heaven, but it can stop you from becoming fruitful on this earth. So that you will not become all that God has destined you to become. So you will end up in heaven, but you will not have made the impact that you should have made on this earth. Because of hidden character. That is a rock. It's like a rock. Do you know that David had a problem with women? Even before Bathsheba came, David could not stay with one woman. He had a problem. Because there was a negative pattern that was influencing his life. His great-grandfather, Judah, committed incest with his daughter-in-law. And no wonder Solomon too came. He couldn't also stay with one woman. Solomon was staying with many, many women. It was a pattern. Just a pattern. There are some people, they come from a polygamous background. Now, if you don't sink your root deep in the word, and you don't begin to aggressively, consciously deal with that thing, you will find yourself getting married and committing adultery. Because you cannot marry more than one. But unofficially, you marry more than one. That is how you see people, when God lifts them up, you see them committing adultery. Because some of them, there were certain things beneath, they didn't do it. There are certain things that now you know in your life, you must deal with them. That will not prevent God from releasing the seed, but it will prevent the seed from manifesting its full potential. Now, the reason why some people don't also develop their roots is because their roots are developed in a secret place. That is when the rock is broken. That is when the roots can sink down. Because roots are not seen. When you look at a tree, the part of the tree that is not seen is the root. But that is the part that carries the whole tree. If your roots, the cedar of Lebanon, it is estimated that the root, the longest branch of the tree, the root of the tree is longer than the longest branch of the tree. I don't know what I understand. The root goes down and spreads, and it goes farther than where the longest branch will end. So the cedar of Lebanon is very solid. Not until we sink our roots, we will not bear fruit. It is depth for height. And the root is developed in the secret place. That is why believers who don't want to be hidden, they don't bear fruit. People who have not been hidden, they don't bear fruit. They become shooting stars. They just shoot up and then they disappear. They don't last. If you want to last, allow God to hide you so that you will bear fruit while nobody, you will sink your roots while nobody is watching. The only tree that grew in one day also died in one day. That was the tree that grew over Jonah. It grew within 24 hours and it died the same 24 hours. You can't be the law of nature, the law of growth. We must become addicted to doing things in the secret place. Study to show yourself approved unto God. If you have not studied to show yourself approved unto God, you will not bear fruit. You will not last. Our lives must be lived before God. God before whom I stand. If we have not come to a point where God has trained us to live our life before Him, and our life is lived before men, we will not bear fruit. The life should be lived before God. That is why it is very suicidal to receive a prophetic word and to seek recognition, to seek platform, to seek influence. It is very suicidal to receive a gift and then to seek recognition, seek influence and platform. Very suicidal, because premature exposure will lead to premature death. And like I said, the seed will be released. Whether you are ready or not, God is releasing the seed. I mean, God will not stop the seed from giving you a platform. Bible says the gift of a man will make room for him. You must have the wisdom to know which platforms to reject, which platforms not to accept. Looking at your capacity, how you have sunk your roots down. David was offered the king's daughter on a silver platter. He said, "Who am I that I should marry the king's daughter? I mean, a common person like me going to become the king's son-in-law. When the funeral comes right now, I'm in trouble. I can't give money." He examined himself and he said, "No, even though I've killed a giant and the woman is being given to me, I can't accept the woman." That is just by way of example. There are certain, because listen, Samuel was established as a prophet when he was young. Many people get it wrong. The fact that the anointing is strong doesn't mean you're ready for exposure. In fact, accuracy doesn't even mean you are ready for exposure. And accuracy doesn't even mean you are mature. Gifting doesn't indicate your maturity at all. Because someone was accurate when he was a child. But God groomed him for 20 years before he stood before Israel. Many people have one gift and they want to be on national platform. Just one anointing. Just some small oil. They want to be on national platform. Handle national issues. Even issues that the fathers are silent about. They want to talk about. So that they will get recognition. You will die before your time. Look at 1 Samuel 3. I want to show you something. 1 Samuel 3. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. It says, so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, at this time, Eli had already sinned against God, had been rejected by God. And God had told Samuel that, look, you are going to be the one I've chosen you. But he was too young. He had accuracy. Bible says he was established as a prophet. They all knew that he was a prophet. But look at how long it took before Samuel stood before Israel. Come to chapter 7. Right after this verse, chapter 3, verse 19, you never hear of Samuel. You never hear of Samuel with regard to Israel or playing a leading role in Israel. Then come to chapter 7, verse 2. So it was that the ark remained in Kiriath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord, now, after 20 years, that's when he was now speaking to the house of Israel. So, the presence of power, or anointing, or gifting, or the accuracy of your visions or your dreams doesn't indicate readiness for exposure. Doesn't determine maturity at all. That's a mistake we sometimes make. We think that because people are accurate, they are mature. And we think that because people are operating in the power of the Holy Ghost, they are mature. Wrong. Maturity takes place when your roots have gone down. In a secret place where you have done things that men have not even seen. Measure your Christian progress by the encounters you have with God. Not by the display of power. By the encounters you have with God. By how your relationship with the Holy Ghost behind the scenes. That is what you measure your progress in your Christian life by. Know the platform that is according to your status, your standing. Don't seek status, seek stature. Seek stature in the spirit. When you get stature in the spirit, nobody can deny your status in the spirit, in the natural. Seek stature while nobody is looking. Spend time with God. Spend time on your knees. Spend time in the Word. Make sure you sink your roots in the Word. He said, meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly till thy profiting appears to all. So when they begin to see your profiting, they'll begin to ask, where did this person come from? then you take them to where it all happened. There must be a place where it all happened. There must be a secret place where it all happened. There must be something to show. This is where it all happened. It all happened before the Lord. When you were before the Lord. When you were ministering to the Lord. Listen, before you can minister for the Lord, you must minister to the Lord. And we minister to the Lord when we don't seek recognition. We have only one audience. And we are doing all the things we are doing just for Him. Not for anything, but just for Him. That is when He builds us. That's when we are being built. Jesus Christ said, which of you, having a servant, tending the field, and coming back from the field, will say to the servant, sit down, let me serve you. He said, no. You will say, servant, stand, let me finish eating. And after I have eaten, then you too will do what? Will eat. Now, it is when God has eaten and become satisfied, that is when He will release you for you to become food to the world. But God will eat from you. You will prepare food for God. You will minister to God. In the secret place where there is no reward, no recognition, no thanksgiving, nobody's applauding you. It is you and God. Nobody even sees you. You are not even respected. Your giftings are rejected. You are not deemed qualified. That is when God builds you. It's as if there's no oil on your head at all. God is developing you in a secret place. Stay there till you are finished serving God. You see, when God eats to satisfaction, that is when He begins to bless you. He said, prepare me venison. Let me eat, and after that, my soul will bless you. Isaac told Esau, prepare me food to eat, and after that, I will bless you. That's why there are some people, when you give them food, they prophesy to you. Because when the person eats, the soul is released to prophesy. And He will bless you out of His belly. Bible says, out of your belly shall flow. So there must be something in the belly to release the belly flow. Hallelujah. The same thing happened to Abraham. For so many years, God gave me a prophetic word. I will give you a child. Now, for so many years, Abraham believed God. But he didn't see the manifestation. For so many years, there were issues in his life he had to deal with. Abraham dealt with family patterns and all that. He dealt with issues in his life. Then, it got to a point. God came to Abraham. And Abraham didn't even call Sarah. Because he knew the principle that you must cook for God to eat. When you minister to Him. And so all that He had been doing for 25 years, 24 years, now God came in the physical so that Abraham will act out all that He had been doing in the spirit. Because for 24 years, all he was doing was serving God, obeying God. Do this, then he will do it. Do this, then he will do it. Sometimes he will fall, but God will lift him up. Then, but it was all in the secret. And still the promise was not given to him yet. So when the three people came, Bible says Abraham ran to the young man and said, take a calf and dress it. He said, Sarah, bake cakes with unleavened cakes. Then he came and brought the food to God. And God ate the food. And Abraham was standing, waiting on God. That's what we call waiting on God. Waiting on God doesn't mean fasting. Waiting on God means you don't have an agenda of your own. You are a waiter. When you go to a restaurant and you have waiters, they are not fasting. They are at the beck and call of the customer. So waiting on God means Abraham, God is eating and you are standing there. No agenda, no ambition, no vision, no dream. I'm just waiting. I'm just standing there. What you tell me is what I will do. After he had finished eating, he said, where is Sarah, your wife? He said, a year by this time, I will come again. And Sarah, now God began to give him specifics. a year by this time, I'll come and Sarah will conceive. It was after he had ministered to God, after he had fed God, God was satisfied. Do you know why? You see, now we are praying for revival. We are praying for the glory outbreak. It will come. But God showed me that why the thing is not coming out is that God is calling his people to minister to him first in secret place. When that thing is full, God will break out on us. And God can take two people to represent the whole group ministering to him. Doing this. Now, there are things that you even do that it's like you wonder, why is it that I have this, that, but it's like still, it's like I see I'm not even anointed. Because we must sink our roots down. That is the only way we will bear fruit. It is depth for height. The word carries tribulations and persecution. The reason why our roots must sink down is because the work itself carries persecution. There are attendant problems. There are certain demons. They are not permitted to fight you because of where you are. There are certain demons. They are not permitted to fight you. Do you know why some Christians attempt to break shrines and they die? Is it because of lack of faith? No. It's because of rank. Rank. There are certain spirits, God will not allow them to fight you because of rank. Because God is a just God. It is lieutenant to lieutenant. It is colonel to colonel. It is sergeant to sergeant. That is why even the angelic realm, the small angel could not withstand the prince of Persia. He had to take Michael, a higher ranking angel, to come and overpower the prince of Persia. He couldn't defeat him, but he could hold him up. That is why don't seek a platform that is not yours. Otherwise, you can die. You may look at somebody and you look at a person's platform. You say, hey, this person, I don't see him as anointed. But look at the platform he's occupying. Let me go and occupy that platform. That will be your end. Because the demons that are fighting the person will begin to fight you. That is when you will know that there are levels in the kingdom. There are ranks. Let God show you your rank. You must know your rank. When we started this church, one day, people came to me in a dream. I've not shared this before. They came here. Many people came to this place and they said, who gave you permission to be here? And I removed our registration in the dream we had registered. And I removed it and showed it to them. He said, no. This is what we are looking for. We're looking for the one that the traditional authorities have given. This one is Abai. We are looking for the one that Nana Adiam. Then I said, look, the Abai is superior to the traditional authority. And I have every right to be here because according to the constitution, I have a right to freedom of worship. Then I just left them and then they went away. Do you know why I had that dream? Because they realized in the spirit that something has started. Even though we are just a few people, they could see that, they could feel the vibration. And they realized that something has started. Now, another time, I saw many, many people coming, and they were coming to this place. Many people, some of them, holding. Then we were standing up there, and then we were throwing stones at them. The other time, I saw madmen coming here. I said, this small thing that we've started, why are we attracting all this opposition? It's a matter of ranking. It's a matter of the place in the spirit. That is why I said that God has made room for us in this land. we shall be fruitful. Rehoboth, God has made room for us and we shall be fruitful. Because the battle has been taken on in the spirit realm. And once it is secure in the spirit realm, it is done. One day, a woman of God called a senior man of God and said, I'm going through this and that and that. And the senior man of God said, congratulations, the Prince of Ghana has located you. He said, the Prince of Ghana has located you. Now, that showed that he had been elevated to national influence. If you haven't gotten to the national anointing, the Prince of Ghana will not bother himself with you. And ranking is from one level to the other. That is why those I saw were traditional powers, not national rulers. Because the ranking is the traditional, the citywide. When it gets to the national, the Prince of Ghana too will come. So if you have not got it to national, and because of your gifting, because you have anointing to heal or to prophesy, you are pushed to the national front. That's why people die before their time. Because they have money, they can be on TV, start saying things. Then the Prince of Ghana will visit them once, then they are dead. So those six status, six stature, allow God to show you your rank, your stature. For instance, I know the rank that God has given me. I know battles that I can fight, battles I can't fight. I don't fight all battles. I know battles I can fight. Now, the third one is also the last one. Is this. The third heart was the heart that was choked by weeds. And so we must weed out the weeds. Weed out the weeds. If you don't work it, weeds will grow. The reason why God told Adam, work Eden. If you don't work Eden, weeds will outgrow you. Somebody said that somebody had a nice garden and he said, congratulations, God has really done your garden well. He said, no. Let me show you the one that God did. Then he took him to a garden that was overgrown with weeds. Then he said, this is the one that God did. This one, it is man who did it. Because God said, I have placed man to weed the garden. If you don't weed it and leave it to God for God to weed it, weeds will outgrow you. So the heart is ours to keep. He said, keep your heart with all diligence. That be preached on the heart of man is the responsibility of man to weed out the weeds. God will release the seed, but the weeds can choke the seed. He said, the thorns stand for the cares of this world. The cares of this world. The cares of this world. The devil will use the cares of this world. Care, cares. C-A-R-E-S. The cares, not C-U-R-S-G. The cares. Care. He will use the cares of this world to choke the prophetic seed in your life. If you allow him, Satan can use certain things to choke the seed. The seed will become unfruitful. Even though the word has been released to you, you have received it, it will become unfruitful. The curse of this world, anxiety, the pressures of this life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will clothe, where you will sleep, these are the pressures of this life, the curse of this life. And they can choke the seed. That is why God said that the Levites, the people should work and bring the money to the Levites, so that the Levites will be relieved from having to think about the curse of this world. Otherwise, they can't perform their work satisfactorily. Does it mean that we shouldn't plan for our lives? No. But we should not be anxious. Otherwise, anxiety can choke the word to become unfruitful. Then he said, the deceitfulness of riches, it can also choke the word. The desire to be rich quick, get rich quick, it is the fastest way to lose the anointing. And you can lose the anointing, can be lost. Who said the anointing cannot be lost? The anointing can be, you can lose the anointing. Because you are not anointed for the people, you are anointed for God. The gift is for the people, the anointing is for God, to stand before God, to cover the flesh, to stand before Him. That's the anointing. And when you lose it, you will have only gifting. And your gift can minister to people, but it will only be a matter of time. Then you even face out. And the love for money is the fastest way to lose the anointing. The fastest way to choke yourself is to follow money. Allow money to deceive you. When your motive becomes money, your problems become many. Yes. When money becomes your motive, your problems will become many. Because now, you must scheme. You must orchestrate things. You must arrange things. That is why one man of God said he went to God in prayer. And God told him that, I've lost many of my servants to money. I prospered them. And I've lost many of them to money. There are many people who are just occupying space. And God will just remove them because they have lost the anointing. When you lose the anointing, you can't stand before God anymore. Because your ministry is first to Him. You see, the anointing covers the flesh. Because the flesh, that is why Aaron, for instance, sinned by leading them to idol worship, but he was not killed. Because the anointing preserved him because of the oil that was upon his head. He was preserved to stand before God, if despite his frailty and his weakness. But the day the anointing lifts, that is all. So never allow money to become the focus. The desire for other things. The desire for other things. When there is something else you desire apart from what God has said, He said, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When there is something else that we desire, David said, He said, whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth, there is no one I desire apart from you. When God truly becomes our desire, when everything else loses meaning, when our whole life is how to fulfill purpose. Paul said that, he said, I've been through a lot, but none of these things move me. If only I can fulfill my assignment with joy. He says, none of these things move me. That was his desire, to fulfill the assignment of God. And so all the things that life threw at him, hallelujah. James 1:5, he said, let him ask in those who lack wisdom, let him ask in faith, not doubting, because the one who doubts is like the waves of the sea tossed about. Let not such a man think he will receive anything from God. What else do you desire? What are the idols in your heart? What are your status symbols? What are your landmarks of prosperity? These are questions you must ask ourselves. What do I regard as a successful life, a fruitful life? What that will determine your priority. You see, if you think a fruitful life is a life that is that a person who has a lot of money, you will forsake everything to make money. Sacrifice your family to make money. Sacrifice your health to make wealth. Sacrifice your dignity to make wealth. Sacrifice your ministry to make money. If you see that a fruitful life is a life that fulfills destiny, you will sacrifice everything to fulfill destiny. You will sacrifice everything to make sure that you stay on course. Because you know that this is a fruitful life. It determines your priority in life. It determines what you do, what you do not do. The love for other things, it will choke the word. That word that God gave you, hold on to it. Let that word be in your mind always. Let it never depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. The same word God gave you is the same word that will sustain you. The next one is love of pleasure. Pleasure can choke the word. I mean, don't get me wrong. God is not against pleasure. Bible says that in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I remember there was a time where anytime I ministered, people were crying and weeping and all that in 2005. The one day I went to a school to preach. After I ministered, people were joyful, laughing, jumping, shouting. 2005. When I came home, I said, oh God, today the presence of God was not. People didn't cry. They didn't weep. That was when God reminded me of this scripture. In my presence, there is fullness of joy. And at my right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So God is a God of pleasures, not pleasure, pleasures. He has a river called a river of pleasures. But God is against pleasure that will take us from Him. Bible called the fleeting pleasures of this world. They can make the word unfruitful. That is why others may, but you can't because of destiny. Define yourself by the prophetic word on your life. Define your life. Define your friends. Define your activities by the word of God in your life. Others can do it, but you can't. Others may. They may do it, but you cannot. Why? Because there is a price on your head. There's a word on your head. Where you are going, that's where you are going. Why do you want to sleep the same hours that somebody is sleeping? You're not going to the same place. Why do you want to go to places where everybody is going? Are you heading towards the same thing in life, the same place in life? No. It's different. So your life must be based on the prophetic destiny on your head. That is how you even determine who your friends are. People have permanent friends. Permanent friends. Jesus Christ said, if you obey my words, then are you my friends. He had permanent principles. There are some people, you know, this thing will not help you. You say, oh, tradition. Permanent friends. This person will not help you to get to where you were supposed to get to. Oh, tradition. There are even some people, there are some churches they are in. The church will not help them. They won't stop. Permanent friends. That That is why many people will become unfruitful. Because they love the produce of men more than the produce of God. Like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. Bible says they followed Jesus, but they could not follow him openly because they were afraid of the Jews. For they loved the produce of men more than the produce of God. For other things, but no capacity for the word. We must pray that God will enlarge our capacity to receive the word. That we can receive the word for 3 hours without getting tired. It depends on where your interest is. Somebody was asking me a question. He said, why do you always read books? He said, this life is a boring life. You always read books. Why is that you are always reading these books? What do you get from these books? Then we were in a car going somewhere. Then we saw a newspaper vendor. And he was selling newspapers. And there was one particular newspaper which was called 90 Minutes. It was a sports paper. Then he saw Michael Asian's picture. He said, hey, stop. Stop, let me buy. How much is it? Now, he took money, bought the thing. Immediately started reading the thing. Started commenting. I was watching him. So after he read everything, I said, why do you like reading these things? He said, oh, sports. This is sports. Say, they are very good in sports. Oh, this people. I said, it's the same reason why I also love books. Because the treasure I get from the books, you have no idea. Because the treasure I get from the books, you have no idea. I get treasure, something that adds to my life, which you have no idea. I don't just get knowledge, I get spirit. I get anointing. I get power. I'm telling you, it's good to read when God leads you to the right books. Because when you read, you encounter the anointing on the person who wrote the book. What I'm preaching to you, I'm not preaching from a book I've read. But I've read many books. What I'm preaching to you, it was just this morning that I prepared the message. Just this morning. I prepared the message just this morning. Yeah. So I'm not preaching to you from a book I've read. I've read many books. Now, when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to you from a depth. Listen, one thing people don't understand. When you indulge in Christian anointed books, you will catch what we call the spirit of wisdom and understanding. So when you see open the Bible and you are explaining, it will not be a book you have read, it will be a spirit you have contacted. And that is why we must spend time, develop capacity, spend time reading. Read anointed books. I mean, when your desire is for spiritual things, you will know that when, I mean, you can locate them. I know somebody. He knows all the sports on radio and their time. So in the morning, if you are traveling with him, when it is this, you will tune into this station. After that, he knows this station too is doing sports. He will listen to, because that is a passion. In the same way, you can have a passion for the things of God so that what God has called you to do, you can be focused. The desire for many other things will kill the seed, will kill the word, will choke the word. You can be distracted. Moses refused to be distracted. When you go read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, he refused to be distracted. Now the last one. The heart that will receive, that will bear the fruit. is the heart that has corrected all the faults of the first three hearts. He has corrected all the mistakes of the first three hearts. He said, he's the one who hears the word, understands it, keeps it, and that he bears fruit with patience. He bears fruit with patience. You learn patience in a secret place. So, he bears fruit with patience. It takes God a long time to do anything. Put it in your mind. It takes God a long time to do anything. In fact, it takes God many years to raise a person. It takes God many years to raise a person. Because God doesn't make mistakes, and he must never make a mistake. So whatever he does, God takes his time. He works it within his time. When his time is not up, you can never push him. And so if we can work with God, we must understand the law of growth. Growth is not measured in meters, it is measured in inches. You don't measure growth in meters, you measure growth. God measures your growth in inches. In other words, you grow a little every day. That is why he says, don't give up. A little is done every day. He said, after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. He said, if you hold fast the confession of our faith firmly to the end, we have been made partakers of the Christ. If you hold fast. He said, the one who received the seed onto good ground, he bore fruit with patience. It takes patience to bear fruit. It takes patience to see something significant in your life. It takes patience. Even in the natural, it takes years to get to where you want to get to. Now, it doesn't mean that God is going to keep you locked up in a room for years. What it means is that if God has destined you to get to the top of this room, if as you are going, wherever, if you don't abandon the process, as you are going, he's promoting you. He's promoting you. He will take you through the process before you finally get to the peak. Because precept must be upon precept. Let me read this one, and I'm finishing with this one. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Let me show you how God works. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom will he teach knowledge? Whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from the milk, those just drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. That's how God works. God works methodically, systematically. That is why last week I said God prefers somebody who is consistent with his secret place appointment than somebody who gets up and prays for 10 hours a month. 10 hours, then next 2 weeks, another 10 hours. He prefers somebody who can be consistent with 10 minutes every day, because he's a God of systematic progress, systematic growth. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. Somebody like that is somebody who has precision. Line must be upon line. When you are ironing God's trousers, you must follow the line. Otherwise, he will reject it. Line upon line. I remember when we were young, my father, if you are ironing his trousers, he wants you to follow the line. He said, if had his own way, the treasure would be able to stand alone with nobody holding it. Yes. So you apply starch and then it will stand alone. That's how God is. He wants everything to be in line. So he will bring you into alignment. And it takes time because our hearts, our will, they are so stubborn. So it takes time for God to bring us to alignment. When he works on you and brings you to alignment, that is when the glory is released. Do you know what we are going through? God is bringing us into alignment. That is why God will come and issue this instruction. Do this. Turn here. Turn there. Sometimes God may tell you to do something that is contrary to your mind. Abraham, kill your son. Wait, don't kill your son. Two conflicting, seemingly conflicting, contradictory statements. Kill your son. Then what to kill your son? Wait, don't kill your son. And Abraham will say, when you tell us to do things that we are doing, then you come. Then you come and you say different things, making us confused. What is that? When he said, don't kill, and he said, kill, if you like, kill. When he said, kill, and he said, don't kill, if you like, kill. If you kill, it's your own business. Your son will die. So God does all these things to train us to be in alignment. When we get into alignment with God, and the glory is released, you see, when the glory is released, people will wonder where that thing came. People will not know the background works. The things you've put. Many of you are going through things simply because God is aligning you to his purpose. There are things you are going through so the devil is fighting you. It is God himself who is aligning you to his purpose. That is why sometimes you get confused. Sometimes you may think that you have done something wrong. You have not done anything wrong. God is bringing you to alignment. Sometimes you are misunderstood, rejected, neglected. God is bringing you to alignment. God is giving you a training so that when he promotes you, nothing can take you away from his face. And you're crying, you're complaining, you're murmuring. It will never stop God from taking you through the process you will go through. God is not a weak parent. When your child wants something and you don't give it to him or her, and then your child is crying and making noise, and sometimes as a parent, that's not how God is. You will cry. Why? I won't serve God again. Have you finished? Let's continue. Why? I'm going through pain. I'm suffering. What did you say? Have you finished? Okay, let's continue. You can never, you will go through. Sometimes even God can make you look as if his word has failed. Sometimes God can tell you something and he will withhold the understanding from you. And you may think that the thing is just 2 months' time. 2 months comes and the thing is not, you're not seeing the thing. I think I saw it clearly. I saw it. I mean, the man prophesied the thing. Everybody was there. I saw it clearly. God took the understanding from you because he wants you to depend on him. He's training you. God can allow you to be disgraced. That is why if you are a child of God and you are not, you think that you respect yourself so much that you don't want to be disgraced, God will not use you because you are self-conscious. So that you will give word of God, nobody responds. There's somebody here with a problem, this. Nobody comes. If you are afraid of situations like that, God will not use you because you are self-conscious. But if you are like, Well, I'll just say it. What if it's true? I'll say it. Nobody can. Okay, we thank God. Tomorrow, you come and stand there and say it again. Nobody can. Okay, we thank God. God will say, this guy, he's not self-conscious. I can use him. Because when he makes it, he will not give the glory to himself. Because you know that I've missed it several times. So this one, it must be God. That is why when God is asking you to do something, do it. Whether it appears as a failure or not, just do it. Sometimes God will make it look like a failure just to test you. He's weighing your actions, whether you really believe he spoke to you. I was telling someone that, look, every minister, every man of God, you will go through a death process. You will go through a period of barrenness where even your giftings don't work. There's a point you get to where God can seize all your giftings. That is when people find it very difficult. You get to a point where God can seize your gifting. I remember when the Lord started using me in a certain area. I remember clearly there were things that I could just go and stand there and declare and this is happening. Then it got to a point, God said, go for your own anointing. And I remember those dry moments where you stand and declare, nothing happens. You lift up your hands, nothing happens. You say, take it. Then the person say, take what? He said, young man, receive it. He said, receive what? Meaning the thing has not worked. Because he said, take it, he must fall down. But he has gotten the courage to even asking you, what should I take? When you endure all those dry moments where you can't see anymore, you used to have dreams, visions. Now you can't even see anymore. God is driving you back to the closet. It's time for you to go to another level. So God will shut your giftings so that you will go back to the secret place. When you come out, that's what the Bible says. Those who wait on God, they shall renew their strength and mount up wings like eagles. When the eagle wants to renew, the eagle will shed off all the old feathers. Go to a place of hiding. Then new feathers will grow. And you will come out even stronger. When you go to a place of barrenness and a place of silence, don't give up. It means you are overqualified for your current situation. And you must be promoted to the next level. Because you cannot get to the next level unless you are overqualified for the present level. It's a sign that you need to go back to the place. Go for refueling. That is when you must shut down all your preaching engagements. People think that when it happens like that, you must force yourself to preach. No. That's the time that you must shut down everything. I want to be with God. No, I won't go. I just want to be with God. Because he's calling you to the secret place. Then when you go there, it's like stretching a catapult. When he releases you, you go farther than you were. Let's be on our feet. Thank you, Lord. Shabaya lo sikaha. I want us to pray. We are praying this prayer. Lo kabaha to shikahata. I will open up. What is the song? My heart ready for your holy fire. I will let you into my mind and into my soul. Pledging my life, serving you is my desire. I will be holding back at all, responding to your call.
I will open up my heart, ready for your holy fire. I will let you into my mind and into my soul. Pledging my life, serving you is my desire. I won't be holding back at all, responding to your call. Oh, I will open up my heart, ready for your holy fire. I will let you into my mind and into my soul. Oh, pledging my life, serving you is my desire. I won't be holding back at all, responding to your call. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depth of my soul. Yes, Lord. Completely, yes. My soul says yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depth of my soul. Yes, Lord. Completely, yes. My soul says yes. We are praying the words of this song. Let the words of this song be our prayer. Let's begin to pray. Oh, we open our hearts to you, O God. Ready for your holy fire. We will open our hearts and our minds to you, responding to your call, responding to your call to come up higher, to come up here, O God. Your call that we should go to the next level. Help us, O God. Help us tend the field. Help us tend the field you've given us, O God. Help us tend the field you've given us, O God. Help us, Lord. Help us develop capacity. Help us stay in the secret place, O God. Help us stay in the secret place. Help us stay in the background, O God, while you work on us, O God. Lo shikra hanta yalahasi. Li poloko tohataha. Ipahando kosi ikataha. Mandorobo kosi yaha. Masoro kohiyahana. Li kroko shukahata. Lo bahanta yahanda. Help us, Lord. More grace, Lord. More grace, Lord. More grace, Lord. More grace, Lord. Grant us more grace, Lord. Grant us grace. Oh, God. Have mercy on us, O God. Have mercy on us, O God. And grant us grace. Grace to make it, O God. Grace to continue, O God. Grace to persist, O God. Grant us grace, O God, to persevere, not to give up. Grace to stay. To stay in the secret place. Grace to stay in the background, O God. Grace, O God, to stay under authority. Grace, O God, to stay within your limits, to stay within your boundaries, O God. Grace to make it. Grace to move on to the next level. Libro lo shibra hakaha. O bahata yala bahas. We are praying this prayer also. We are praying that God should enlarge our capacity. God should enlarge our capacity. We cannot use old oil for new assignments. God should enlarge our capacity. God should stretch the wine skin that can contain more wine. Let's begin to pray. Stretch our hearts, O God. Enlarge our capacity, O God. Train us, O God. Equip us, O God. Build us, O God. Ko Sibraha Tayala. Libro Tolohose, Libra Hanta Yakata, Lobahatiyalakatozi ikata. Mandoroboro sikahande. Librodo zikriataha. Yalabalo brodo zibrokotoya. Imaliande bratikaluse. Oliandahataha. In the name of Jesus. We are praying this prayer. We are praying for Ghana. We are coming against every terrorist attack in the pipeline, you know, like the prophetic word that came some week, last 2 weeks, that there's a terrorist attack hanging on Ghana. We as a church, we can stop it. We are praying against it. We are speaking against it, declaring that it will not happen. In the name of Jesus, let's begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, we agree as one. We come against every planned attack, every attack of the enemy on this nation, every terrorist attack on this nation. We cancel it in Jesus' name. We cancel it in Jesus' name. We deny the enemy permission. We deny him permission to touch our nation. In the name of Jesus, we refuse to allow the coming revival to be thwarted by terrorist action. In the name of Jesus, no coup d'etat, no instability in this nation. In Jesus' name, no instability, no terrorist attack, no coup d'etat, no instability. In the name of Jesus, we come against it, we stifle it, we thwart it, we destroy it. In the name of Jesus, let the strong man, let the angelic being, let God's man in charge of this nation arise and be strong. In the name of Jesus, empower him, O God, in Jesus' name, to wage warfare on our behalf. In the name of Jesus. Kamayano Shikahan. We are praying this prayer. Bible says, to him belongs escapes from death. We are praying that every death sentence the enemy has planned for any of our members, what the enemy is doing, that the enemy is now nervous. He's now nervous, and so he's planning a lot of attacks. And God is with us. Just this morning, two of our members were involved in an accident, and by the grace of God, they were not hurt. And when they sent me the picture, I realized that it was God, because the car was destroyed. Two of our members were in the taxi, and this morning, but none of them got hurt. If one of them was unconscious, but now she's come back, you know. And so we are thanking God for the deliverance from death. Then we are also coming against every further attack. You know, what even amazed me is that they didn't even get cut. We are thanking God, and we are coming against any attack of the enemy on our members. Let's begin to pray. Kamaya no shikahata, likotoriyanda hata, libratolo kosihata, mandorobo kosiketeha, lubrokotoriyanda, imrataya lokose, brikatoro bahata, mande bretete, bratotosike, brondahata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. To you belong the escapes from death. We thank you for deliverance. Thank you for saving them. Thank you for preserving their lives. We come against every planned attack, every attack of the enemy on any of our members. We stop it right now. Or their families, we stop it right now. In the name of Jesus, all attacks in satanic ideas, in satanic plants, satanic incubators, satanic refrigerators, we abort them right now. In the name of Jesus, we abort them right now. In Jesus' name, we declare it shall not stand, neither shall it prevail. In the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you. We bless your name. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Our lives are in your hand, and we know you are able to keep it unto the day. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. Thank you for what you've done in our midst. We commit our lives, the rest of our lives, the rest of our week, the week into your hand. We pray, oh God, that you continue to be with us. And we pray that, Father, you continue to reveal yourself to us in dreams, in visions, in revelations, oh God. Let us have encounters. Let us encounter you in various ways, oh God, that our faith will be strengthened. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah.